Hi everyone, and warmly welcome to our podcast, An Inclusive Labour Market with us at Mitt Liv and our role models that will join us for talks about diversity and inclusion. And the purpose of this interview series is to get behind the scenes and learn more about diversity and inclusion from a CEO perspective. So you will have the chance to meet some amazing CEOs in some of the largest companies and get their view on why diversity and inclusion and how walk the talk. But for you who doesn't know much about us, we have been around with Mitt Liv since 2008. And our vision is to work for an inclusive society and a labor market that values diversity. And if you want to learn more about us, you can visit our homepage, mittliv.com. But the most important today, we have the big honor to have a true role model joining us for this conversation, and someone who knows a lot about how to develop diversity and inclusion within an organization, and who also know a lot about great leadership. So warmly welcome CEO for DNB Sweden, Elisabeth Beskow.
Thank you so much, Sofia. I'm really, really glad that we finally doing this interview. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and since we met pretty much the last time, and I mean, you always have this sunshine around you, and it hits me that you have this big smile in your face all the time. Do you never have a bad day, Elisabeth?
I think we all have bad days, but I think that being a leader, motivating people to develop and you know, see what's best for everyone, I think that you really need to have that energy. And if you have a bad day, you kind of just need to leave that at home and go to work, and then you can deal with that later. And I think that for me, being a person who loves to be out in the nature with my dogs, that is also how I regain my energy time after time. So I think that I would say that probably 90% I'm a very positive person.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. But it makes me curious though, what are the big milestones in your life that has formed you as a person and who actually brought you to the role of CEO for DNB Sweden?
I think that, you know, people that have believed in me having talent and giving me opportunities to develop. And I think also develop in areas where maybe I didn't really have the right competence, but believing in me in a person and the leadership quality that I actually apparently have. And I think that has been my greatest asset, that I have had good people around me, trusting me and helping me and supporting me, because that is also very, very important when you start to build a career, and also people that dare to put people in position that was a bit, maybe they wanted to have more equality from a gender perspective, and really wanted to see that happen, and knew that they couldn't find the exact right competence, but went for good leadership and other form of necessary competence that you the minimum competence that you needed for in order to have this job. So maybe that is the I think the main thing, and have that trust and there, and you of course need to have courage in order to do the change, definitely.
Yeah, but that makes me curious about what is your most important value, and how do you see the link to your role as CEO and role as a leader?
My most important value, I think, is definitely equality. But with equality comes kind of justice or fairness. And I think that we have so many talented people, but opportunities are not even distributed. So that means that we really need to understand that we have, you know, talent is equally distributed, opportunities and not. And I think that is why it is so important for me to understand that and try to really walk the talk when it comes to equality, justice, and fairness. And I think I have that from my dad, who was always extremely, it was extremely important for him as well, you know, that everyone was included and no one was standing on the side. And he was my football trainer. And I think that I really have that with me from the beginning. Very, very important.
Mm. Yeah. And then I have to comment your beautiful necklace that you have. Yeah, and would you like to share to everyone what that means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it says "take no shit." It's a famous silversmith in Sweden who have made a series of different items. And it's for the children's right in society in Sweden. And for me, it's a lot about inclusion, that no one should stand outside the context, that everyone should be included. And if not, you just have to leave and stand up for yourself and take no shit. And I think this, for me, I have had a situation where maybe I haven't really appreciate some leadership around me. And I think that when I discover that, you know, it affected me both as a person, but also on my own leadership skills, I really decided that it's not worth it. The career in that respect is never going to be worth it. If you can't be true to yourself and your own values, you can't do the job, because everything is just fake. So that's why take no shit. So it's been with me for a long time, and I used actually to have a bracelet that I give to I've given to some of my dear friends and people around me, which has been important for me, and trying to send the message ahead. So it's about inclusion, I think.
Yeah I love it.
Yeah,
and I mean, bringing all those important values into a pretty conservative, historically, business.
Yes,
that must be a big change. And I'm curious about that. Since you came to DNB, you have brought like a big vision for diversity and inclusion, but you also at the same time have the reality around you. And what would you say is that big? What is the big gap you see, and what has happened since you started at DNB?
I think a lot of good things has happened, and I'm fortunate enough to work for a bank who, for a couple of years actually, have at least gender diversity extremely high up on the agenda. And I, of course, have an amazing team around me who's also extremely, you know, focus on these questions. So I haven't really been, you know, been the lonely knight who's riding out in the dark around these topics. So we've been working together, and I think that I mean, we've been running a lot of trainings, we've been in a lot of education, because I think it's extremely important to actually know the topic, to understand what it does to us, and how important it is to have more perspective in the room. So if you just look at the gender situation at DNB in Sweden, we have went from, I think we were 18% in manager position when I started, and we are 35% today. And it doesn't, you know, maybe not much. We have a goal of 40, so we're not even, you know, we haven't reached the target yet, but it takes time. Yeah. And I think that is one of the most important thing I would like to send to other organizations. It's not a quick fix. It's about culture. It's about how we walk the talk and how we address the topic. And that takes time.
Yeah. And I hear a lot of companies that make sure that they have a broader pipeline and include the diversity perspectives into the recruitment process. But then that, as you say, it's hard to retain and make sure that people really want to stay, and that the culture is so crucial, and the leadership is so crucial for creating this sense of belongingness and uniqueness that we need in place for an inclusive working place. But what would you say is the hardest thing? What are the typical pitfalls to fall back?
I think pitfalls is when you, and some two things. Pitfall is when you feel that it's so difficult to make progress. Because what we're talking about, that some people need to move in order, if we just talk about gender equality. And I think that with that respect, so we can have extremely talented people in a lot of different areas, but some need to move in order to get more equal workforce. And especially if you have set a target as we have done. And I think that takes courage. And when we move people, it's very easy for those who need to move to feel that they are excluded and not included. So I think that is something that you need to watch out for, and really, you know, also have a focus. And especially if we talk gender, I think that a lot of men might feel that they actually are excluded. If you're not a woman around 40, there's no idea, you will never make a career in this company. That is not a good thing to hear, because that is also to exclude people. So we need everyone, we need all perspective, but we need that equal distributors as good as we know. Yeah. And I think that a 60-40, and that is of course in both direction. And I know that we have some CEOs in our group that they have it on the other hand with too much women instead of men, that maybe is the case in the banking industry in some areas. So I think it's really important to see the different perspective that we need in order to thrive and to make the best out of an organization.
Yeah. And also, what would you say then has been the most crucial actions to get this work started?
I think that the most crucial, I think, that is actually to educate people, to make them understand how we actually, the norms and the bias and the perception, and how some of us are actually, you know, in position that we don't really see the inequality and the privilege that some of us have. And I think that has been extremely important, and that we also are different. We are different in how we view the world, both from a gender perspective, but also from a culture, ethnical perspective, or from a neurodiversity perspective. It's so many different angles you can have. And I think that just to have that mindset and not thinking that the only way is my way, to really have that around. I think education is so important in this, and also to understand if it is problems in the organization. We did a local survey, and it actually came out a bit, I wouldn't say that we were shocked, but a bit surprised that we did have actually issues that we need to tackle. And that was a bit surprising, because I really felt that it was a very open culture, warm, that everyone took care of each other. But when you start really to ask the right question, you get different answer, and then you need to start to work with them. So that was also very helpful.
And in every organization, there are always like those no-sayers that does not really understand why it's necessary and why at all. How do you tackle that? How do you make sure that the no-sayers become yes-sayers? Or is it necessary? Will we always have no-sayers around us?
I think that, we will probably always have people that don't spend too much time if you can't change them, because some, you know, don't want to, do not understand the benefits. So let them be. But I think, again, just to show the patterns and what happens and how the differences sometimes just between men and women, how that actually can affect the outcome of a decision, how we take risk and how we perceive things. I think that is important, and it's all about education.
Yeah.
And to make people see and to be aware of that knowledge. Because when you start to make people aware, then you actually, amazing things happen. Mm. But of course, some of us do not want to change.
No.
And then we just leave them on the side.
Yeah.
But it's very few.
Yeah. And if we are a majority, we can push this movement in the right direction with supporting each other. But also, I think, I mean, there are behaviors that we need to maybe change. We need to start to do things with our right hands if we are left-handed. And that can be very hard for many. Change is not something everyone really embrace and like. What would you say are the behaviors that we need to have to be successful within D&I?
Again, we were talking about this with inclusion. And I think an inclusion leadership style is extremely important. And that, of course, goes with the values that an organization have for all individuals, where we, everyone is, expect to be treated with respect. But I think that to more drive an inclusive leadership style, I think that is important. But maybe also to make sure that that the manager has also a clear goal of how we would like to drive the organization when it comes to, and the thing with Sweden, since we are a bit handicapped, since we are only allowed to measure gender, but I think sometimes just with that you actually get progress when it comes to other perspective as well. Yeah. So I have for all my team a gender goal, but we have a gender KPI. Mm. For departments, it could actually be 50-50. Manager is 60-40. For the sales force or sales people, it should be 60-40 because it's often there we recruit manager. So I think it's important to also give the tools and to put that in a context. This is important. You will be measured on it.
Mm.
Because otherwise it gets too fluffy. And of course, it's always hard when you start to measure fluffy things. But this is a thing that you can measure, actually. Mm. Yeah.
And that is always a discussion, what to measure and what does the law actually say, and what is relevant to measure for our industry or business and so on. So
I think that from that perspective, we look just for an ethnical cultural background where we are not allowed to measure, even though we can get data. Data is available on an anonymous level, and my view on that is that I think that the future organization need to measure the society and the customers that we will have. Mm. So if we as an organization is not following what's happening in the bigger society, I don't think really that we will be stay in business or will be profitable in the future.
No.
So I think that is extremely important to understand the market forces for the future.
Yeah, and that makes me super curious too. About, I mean, we do have like those big mega trends out there, like forces that pushes us in this direction for different reasons. But what are the strongest forces, you think, or the biggest trends that makes this like a no-brainer in the future?
Of course, if you would talk to any bank today, we would talk about the ESG, and I think that is have been an extremely great focus on, just back a couple of years on governance, but also on the environmental part. But right now, I think the S has become much more important when it comes to the social part, human, and how we actually drive organizations. So I think that ESG, or if you combine the nature and people, I'm not really sure, but I think that is going to be so important going forward to understand. And that is something that we ask our companies today: how is your how does your board look like when it comes from a gender perspective? Is this something that you promote? Because even though we're not still allowed to measure, which I think is something that would probably help, but from an ethnic and cultural background. But I think that if we can start to measure and ask questions around gender, I think that will also push our things in the companies to actually start to change and discuss the different perspective that you actually get when you have more people with more views into the organization.
Mm. And how have you, I mean, we're talking about the next generations and their values and how those differ from the older generations. Can you see that when recruiting, that coming generations or younger generations has like other expectations on you as an employer?
Yeah, I would say that, and it's good or bad. I think the new generation is much more, of course. I think that values are so important that you, sometimes living your values is maybe the best, but the bit of that you really, are true to your values that you have in the organization. But I also think a lot of the younger generation is, they're much more, asking, okay, what can this company do for me? It's not what we as a company, what can you do for us? So it's we as a company in the future, I think we need to be much more careful how we recruit and the promises that we make, and that we actually stay true to our values and really walk the talk when we hire people. And things go so much faster. It's they will not sit and wait for us to change. It needs to happen now. And they love the different perspectives when they can discuss cross-border and everything. So it's going to be extremely interesting to see what's happening with banking in the future.
Very much so. And I know, Elisabeth, there will be many CEOs listen to this and hopefully get some inspiration on how to take on diversity and inclusion in their own organizations. What would you say is if you haven't started the journey yet, what would be the very first step for you as a CEO to start the journey? Would you say?
First and foremost, it starts with the CEO. It starts with the CEO. So you need to believe in this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't put this on HR to fix. It starts with you. You need to understand how it is to drive an organization as an inclusive leader, I think. And I also think that when you have that in mind, you need to put the topic on the agenda for the organization and the management team. I would actually start to educate, depending on the status of the organization, and then I will put up a dashboard and start to measure. Mm. Because that is, even though it can feel awkward, and sometimes you put up this dashboard and nothing has happened, or it goes on in the wrong direction. What it does is really that it makes you, again, think about it harder, and you start to argue with yourself and the organization and the people around you, what are we doing wrong and what can we do better? So I think that is would be my absolutely best advice.
Thank you so much. It's the CEO's role yes. we say. Yeah,
yes. It is.
And that has changed a lot the last years, from like CSR question many years ago, then HR, and now the CEO. So lots of things going on in this field. And it's pretty amazing how this movement is opening up and pushing diversity now in the right direction. And we can only do that with role models and people like you, Elizabeth. So let's do this together.
Yeah, and I think definitely, I mean, you're doing an amazing work and of course other organization next to you, but I think that we all need to take this responsibility, and we can't trust that someone else will fix this. And looking into the situation we have in Sweden today, it's scary. And that's why I think it's a call for action from the the business society to actually step up and believe that we would be a much more in a profitable country, more profitable business, and we will have people that thrives in our organization if we start to address this question in the correct manner.
Yeah, and that's true words from you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. And a call to action for everyone who's listening, that we have a common responsibility for our countries, our society, and we want to be profitable companies too. So it's a win-win-win if we start doing this together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and keep shining. And we love to wrap this up by saying that we not only should talk, we should definitely walk the talk.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much, and we wish you all a happy day. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.